Hello. I would like to welcome you to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenelia Harris, certified financial planner, member of the CNBC Financial Advisor Council, and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of professional women who are going through various life transitions, such as job change, marriage, widowhood, and retirement. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women executives and women business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. My guest today is Lisa McCurdy. Ms. McCurdy is a managing partner of the Wealth Counselor, LLC, a boutique estate planning and asset protection law firm. She, along with her team and nationwide network of resources, counsels clients with $1 to $15 million worth of net worth in the U.S. and abroad. Ms. McCurdy counsels clients in all aspects of estate planning. She is passionate about assisting her clients in supporting their families for generations into the future. Personal family experience has shown her the effects of not planning for incapacity and not establishing a plan for distributing assets. She has served as guardian, trustee, and attorney, in fact, for clients and family alike, protecting their assets and preserving their legacies. She helps her clients gain peace of mind that only detailed and tailored planning can provide. Ms. McCurdy is a member of several philanthropic and community organizations. She currently serves as president-elect of the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C., a member of the Board of Directors of the Rotary Foundation of Washington, D.C., where she serves as the Investment Committee Chairperson. Ms. McCurdy is a member of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, the Madeira Alumni Council, the Washington, D.C. Chapter of the Lynx, Incorporated, and the Board of Associates of MedStar NRH. She lives in Washington, D.C. with her husband, Raymond, their son, Heracles, canine, their son, Robert, human, who lives in New York City. Let's welcome Lisa McCurdy. So welcome, Lisa, to this call today. So I'm so excited to learn more about your practice and all of the great things that you're doing to preserve and protect wealth. So can you share with us what prompted you to becoming an estate attorney and starting your own practice?
Absolutely. I'm glad to be able to share today. I took an unconventional path. Imagine you're building a successful career in diplomacy. You're living your dream, exploring cultures around the world. Then you get the call. You are needed at home to serve as a court-appointed legal guardian to an elderly relative, one who's 50-plus years your senior, who's suffering from dementia. Oh, sure, he's built a nice nest egg. The level of wealth that should have included the strategy for preserving his wealth. But he just never got around to estate planning, and so now you're court-appointed. You're willing. You serve, you know, for 8 years as his fiduciary, making financial and care decisions for his well-being. But, of course, the experience changes your life.
Yes.
And your life's mission.
See that. Wow. Wow. And how long did you do that for?
I did that for 8 years. And, you know, as a result, it just really showed me, you know, I had the book smarts. I was a graduate of Georgetown Law. But showed me the real pitfalls, the strategies, language, and plans that truly work and what doesn't. The estate planning that is truly life planning. You know, plan as though you're going to reach that 100-year birthday.
Right.
Because it's very likely you might. Yes. You know, if you have that in mind, you are going to have the peace of mind that your strategy is in place, and I felt like I had something to share. And as we say at the Wealth Counselor, we are your lifetime attorneys for your lifelong journey, because it doesn't begin or end today.
I like that. I like that. So when you started your practice, like, you know, was that the, I'm sure that was the catalyst to begin in the practice, but, you know, was there a particular aspect that you wanted to focus on with your practice, a nuance to estate planning that you thought would be was needed in the community?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a few things that struck me. One, there was a focus on planning for after your death, you know, establishing a strategy for distributing your assets once you were no longer here, but nobody was speaking about planning for incapacity.
Mm.
Planning at periods of time, it could be physical incapacity, it could be mental. It could be that you're just tired of managing your own affairs. You're in your 80s or 90s, and your children are well-established, and you kind of want to hand some of that off. Without a plan in writing that you establish while you have capacity, there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of susceptibility toward loss. You're open to fraudulent practices,
right,
against the elderly if you don't have these documents in place. Your family may have to establish what we call an intervention case if you don't have these plans in place. It's a public place where you're declared incompetent, just so your family has the right to make decisions on your behalf, decisions that financial institutions and medical facilities will recognize. So
right.
Plan for incapacity.
Yes, because now that's a big deal. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
No one really was talking about it, but now in the last, I guess, maybe 3 to 5 years, you're hearing more about that. I know I'm hearing more about it as a financial planner, like when I go to conferences, and it's making me think about my role as well with interacting with my clients and making, because we may be the first indicator as to that we're seeing some things with our clients. And so can you share just a little bit about incapacity planning, what that is exactly?
It really entails putting in place things, and they're contingent documents. So they aren't documents that come into play immediately. They are documents that only come into play if, in fact, you do become incapacitated or unable to make decisions during your lifetime as determined by doctors. There are things like establishing a trust, which is really a management asset system during your lifetime, where you may serve as the initial trustee, but a successor trustee whom you know, trust, and have appointed can step into your shoes and manage your affairs just as you'd be able to if you, in fact, become incapacitated, and manage those assets for your care and benefit, and then for your loved ones down the road when you're no longer here. Documents like the power of attorney documents, so durable power of attorney documents where, again, you are appointing those fiduciaries, those trusted individuals whom you know either have the skill set themselves or will hire the necessary individuals to assist with your day-to-day care, your financial decisions, your tax planning, any aspect of maintaining your assets or selling your assets for your care, making those decisions to preserve things so for your betterment, those things you want to put in place while you are able to, just in case you need them. And then you have that peace of mind that you'll be cared for in the manner you'd like to, whether that's in your home, whether that's in, you know, a nursing facility, but the decisions are being made by people you trust, know, love, and whom you've had these conversations with.
Right, right. I think that's the biggest thing is actually being able to be comfortable having the conversation. And my mind goes back to after our daughter was born, you know, one of the things that my husband and I did right away was she was born, maybe a week or 10 days later, we were getting documents, our trust in place, because we wanted to have organization around our lives and have the comfort of knowing that if something were to happen to us, that she would be okay. And you're right, it does give you a peace of mind. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that. I think they stress out about having to do it, but then once it's done, and then you just update. So that's a question that I actually want to ask is, you know, how often should you update these documents? So, you know, we did it when she was born. So at what point should we, you know, consider updating these documents and, you know, on a continual basis?
I think you should take a review every 3 to 5 years. And additionally, if there are life-changing substantial change in your assets. But the point really is to be an active member of your planning team, to plan, and then tweak your plan to make sure that strategies that you put in place remain relevant. Because estate planning really is life planning. Build your team, but remain involved. You know, the practice of estate planning law had operated like this traditionally. You visit a lawyer's office, you provide a download of details about your property and family, documents would be prepared, you'd be kind of put in a category, couple with children, individual, single, et cetera, and then you'd return to the office some weeks later to sign your documents, tuck them away in a safe deposit box or a home safe without ever understanding the document, what the document said or how the strategies work, and doesn't serve you well. You know, in our practice, we made a conscious decision to involve our clients in their planning. You must insist on it, on this new model. You know your unique circumstances best. And, you know, historically, women have not been involved in the planning, the finances, the asset building within the family, even those women, you know, who were world leaders, business owners. And very strong outside of the home. Within the home, they may not have had those roles or that involvement. So I say, move out of the shadows, ladies, and become an equal partner in your planning now. You know, some key facts, women will inherit $41 trillion in intergenerational wealth in the next 40 years. By 2025, 60% of the billionaires will be women. Women control more than half the wealth in the U.S. now.
Right.
So plan like you're going to live to your 100 with your husband and your parents, your inheritance.
Right.
And remain involved and make sure your documents remain relevant.
Right. I love that. I love that. Thank you for my tip today. So we need to get on the ball with reviewing them and making sure that they are relevant to what our life is right now. So based on your experience as an executive woman, what are some tips you can share to help others advance in their careers and expand their capabilities towards executive leadership?
You know, it really requires collaboration. Establish those mentors, those advocates and advisors who can help to guide you, whom you can bounce ideas off of. Build that network around you of support and collaboration. I would say, you know, collaborating is so key. Like I said, build a team. There's enough of the pie to go around. So even within, for instance, estate planning, I regularly refer to other estate planning attorneys, maybe in other jurisdictions, or who have some unique niche.
Right.
Don't be afraid to collaborate. It can be very rewarding and important to do. Build community. become a member, an active member of your community. That increases your stature, and within your company, it'll be recognized. And in the community, when you're looking for your next opportunity, you've already built that network of folks.
Yeah, I think that is really powerful, too, because I think, especially with young people, being able to engage with people who are, that you look to as your managers, and they are the executives now in the companies, it can be intimidating sometimes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so if you're this young person and you're looking to you, and what would you say would be an approach that they should take if they wanted to get to know you and maybe ask you to be a mentor?
You know, well, one thing is to ask. A lot of times, as you mentioned, young people might be intimidated and not get around to asking. And, you know, I got some great counsel once, and it was fair. It's a two-way street. You know, mention your plans. Share with this individual so they can become invested in your future. Remember to be thankful and respect the person's time. Be on time for meetings. Be on time for calls. Recognize that they're leading a busy life and that you know, they're sacrificing their time to help uplift you when they sign on to be your mentor. So approach it in that manner. Approach it as this is a blessing. I'd appreciate your counsel, and then be respectful of that person's time. And I'd say, you know, in that regard, have an agenda. Don't just call to, you know, shoot the breeze. Definitely have an agenda. Stick to the agenda, stick to the timetable, and be respectful of that individual, and you'll find that people will be willing to serve as your mentor for years into the future.
Yes, I love that. Some of those things I wish I had known when I was younger as well. Okay, so now, you know, I have to ask about finances and get your insights on what you feel is one of the best financial decisions you've made as a woman executive and business owner. I think sometimes, you know, as women, I always say we talk about everything else, but we don't talk about the finance part. And so I like to ask this question to all of my interviewees, because I think that, it, you know, if it's one tip, it's one tip that hopefully will help someone else, you know. So can you share your tip for the day?
Yeah, I'd say the overarching one I've kind of already mentioned is to remain and to be an active member in all of the financial decisions that impact you. But as a business owner, you also want to establish some asset protection moves, like making sure that your business assets and finances and decisions are distinct and completely separate from your personal family assets and finances.
Okay.
So those separate accounts, those separate decisions, and that protects you, protects your family, so that you can manage your business without being concerned that a disgruntled employee is going to, you know, collapse your personal finances, that disgruntled business partner and the aftermath of that will, you know, extinguish all you've built personally for you and your family. So put those controls in place, buy-sell agreements, succession plans. I know I'm throwing a lot of things out there, but bank accounts and distinct business structures separate from your personal estate, assets, finances, and decision-making.
No, I think that this is really, really good. And, you know, we'll have another call, and then you can, and maybe we'll talk about the specifics of what an asset protection plan looks like, what's a succession and, you know, the succession plan, what does that entail? Because I think when you're running a business, a lot of times you're so busy running the business that a lot of times you may not always have all of the things in place that helps protect you from various scenarios, and then you find yourself in one and you're like, how did I get here? Or why am I here? And you're right. That's, you know, I'm a big proponent of building up your team of advisors. And, you know, and I'm a big proponent of an estate attorney being a part of that team. So, you know, you need an attorney. You need different attorneys, actually. But some attorneys can do multiple functions. But, you know, just making sure that you have a team that you can call on for various needs that you have or situations that arise so that you're not making these decisions in the blind. Like, that is the scariest thing for me as a woman, as a business owner, is making decisions in the blind without taking into consideration other ways that it can impact me. So I'm in total agreement about, you know, separating the two and knowing that you should, that should be part of, and when you're making that decision to go into business, that should be part of the planning. Like, okay, I'm going into business. I need to think about, you know, how I separate this two and how do I put in place putting in place the asset protection tools so that I don't get blindsided. So I completely agree with that. So my final question is, what are some estate planning and financial tips you would like to impart with other professional women? So they may not be business owners, but just professional women who are in corporate America that you've learned or from working with your clients or just what you've learned personally from your own experiences that you want to share today.
I would say, you know, kind of in closing, you know, be an active participant in all of the planning decisions that impact you. Estate planning is truly life planning. You should be tweaking and updating and changing things based on your circumstances, based on new information you received, based on changes in, obviously, the law and tax and things like that, and ensure that the strategies you put in place remain relevant, continuing to tweak your plan over your lifetime because it really is a lifetime journey, and your documents should reflect your current circumstances so that they actually work for you.
Great. So for women who would love to get in contact with you or reach you for consultation, what is your contact information that you would like to share so that they can reach out to you?
Sure. You can reach us through our website, thewealthcounselor.com, and I'd love to share Twitter and Instagram and things like that with you. I'd love it if you could post those things.
Okay.
At the end of our chat. That would be great.
Okay. So for those who would want to reach out to Lisa, you can reach her through her website, thewealthcounselor.com, and you can, she has a contact page, so you can send her a note or give her a call as well, because her phone number and information should be on the website. So thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing this powerful information. I am going to have you back because we're going to delve into some other aspects that you mentioned briefly on this call. But I think that every year we should, you know, have an update as to what's going on with estate planning and how, as professional women, professional and executive women, how we need to look at our financial lives and incorporate, you know, the legal documentation to put in protections and to for ourselves as well as for our family. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share.